Okay, this may not make any sense at all, and this is totally off topic, but this is the song I feel like playing.
There's no topic.
Okay, good. I live in Seattle. I've been in Seattle since 1971. When I got to Seattle, Boeing had crashed a number of months earlier. They had laid off something like 30,000 workers, and they are again laying off 30,000 workers. And there was a famous sign on Aurora, which is the main drag that goes through town. It was the main north-south road before the freeway was built. And what it was a big billboard sign that said, "The last person to leave Seattle, turn the lights out." Because Seattle was depressed. I mean, it was depressed. Nobody even knew where the place was outside the Northwest. You know, Seattle, where's Seattle? But it was a very, very friendly, very spontaneous, very easygoing, outgoing town. It was wonderful. It was the kind of place you could go into a drugstore, buy a tube of toothpaste, and spend half an hour talking about the weather and where you're from and what you do for a living and all that stuff. People had time. And then the money started to come in. And Seattle changed from what it had been. I mean, everything changes. Okay, we accept that. But Seattle turned from a friendly, outgoing, easygoing, humorous place to an uptight, briefcase-carrying, stock market-following place. Okay? And I watched it happen. Seattle has the richest human being on the planet, Bill Gates. Private citizen human being. And the third richest, Paul Allen. Now, when I first came to Seattle, it was barely bigger than a small town. The evergreen trees growing up, good rain coming down, and it looked so innocent then. You'd never dream to take a glance at all those baby billionaires just waiting for their chance. Now a penny makes a nickel, makes a dime, makes a dollar, makes a kindergarten CEO on a jump up and holler, turns a software magician with a fine and friendly face into a planetary predator with his fingers all over the place. We used to call it Seattle, jewel of the Puget Sound. We used to call it Seattle, now we call it Paul Allentown. Seattle was Duwamish, but nobody really cared, so they turned him into a drinking fountain down in Pioneer Square. And the mountain was Tahoma, but that made their minds go blank, so they called her Rainier, and that became a bank, and the bank became a magnet for the money and the flash. And the mountain made of nature became a mountain made of cash. And the little baby billionaires broke out of their padded cells, and the little town got real big, and everything went to hell. We used to call it Seattle, jewel of the Puget Sound. We used to call it Seattle, now we call it Paul Allentown. Paul Allen made his millions in the Microsoft days. Then he multiplied those millions, and he gave himself a raise, and he gazed out into the distance, just as far as he could see. And everywhere he looked, he saw an opportunity, and he waved his wallet like a scepter and a sword. He said, "There's nothing next to God that this wallet can't afford. Move over, Mr. Yesler. Step aside and take a bow. My name is Paul Allen, this is my town now. We used to call it Seattle, jewel of the Puget Sound. We used to call it Seattle, now we call it Paul Allentown." You like sports? He'll build you a stadium or two. Yeah, and he'll do it with your money too. He owns Lake Union and the EMP. He owns half the city council, but he don't own me. You want to fondle your portfolio? You've come to the right place. You like high rise? Go get yourself a condo with a happy face, with a Starbucks on every corner and your own cash machine. Now I know what they mean when they call it evergreen. We used to call it Seattle, jewel of the Puget Sound. We used to call it Seattle, now we call it Paul Allentown. Say Paul Allen plays a mean guitar, but I don't think that's right. I think that poor guitar's just angry because he ain't treating it right. Like some adolescent ego with his billfold overblown, he thinks he can just go out and buy himself a rock star of his own. Jimi Hendrix on his bended knees up on Broadway all in bronze. He still can't figure out what went wrong. Playing the Star Spangled Banner in a blown out purple haze. Now he lives in a digital museum and his fans are all half crazed. We used to call it Seattle, jewel of the Puget Sound. We used to call it Seattle, now we call it Paul Allentown. New money likes to strut around just showing off its stuff, and we're all supposed to love it. We're not supposed to call its bluff. Just buy your ticket, take your chance, and keep your place in line, and maybe they'll throw you down a few crumbs from time to time. Well, they say the road to hell is paved with all the best intentions, hypnotized and dazzled by the latest slick inventions, like a deer in the headlights trying to catch a ride. Well, it can be a big surprise when you reach the other side. We used to call it Seattle, jewel of the Puget Sound. We used to call it Seattle, now we call it call it Seattle, jewel of the Puget Sound. We used to call it Seattle, now we call it Paul Allentown. Y'all know what the EMP is? It started out, Paul Allen, he does play the guitar. He has a Stratocaster or whatever it is, and he's got a band and he made a CD. Of course, he can do all that. And he can also, he can buy his own distribution company if he wants to. He can buy all the copies himself and it'll wind up on the Billboard Top 10. Okay, the guy's got a lot of money. It doesn't really matter, okay, any of this stuff. But he was the world's biggest Jimi Hendrix fan, and he was going to buy all the memorabilia, buy Jimi's house that he grew up in, buy the whole nine yards, and start a Jimi Hendrix museum. Well, there was resistance from certain quarters or something. I'm not exactly sure. So it changed from just a strictly Jimi Hendrix museum to the EMP, the Experience Music Project. Which is just incredible chewing gum wrapper building designed by some architect who had taken too much acid once upon a time. And it's this thing that once you look at it and you go off, it's like, what did that look like? Well, I don't remember. Let me check out. Oh, there it is again. Oh, yeah, yeah. What did that look like? You can't remember what it looked like. People say it's ugly. I don't know because I can't remember what it looked like. Okay? It's just weird. It's all digitized. They've got all this stuff in there. And the one thing that you notice if you go in the building and you wander around through it, I played at the grand opening. Okay, and I played in there a number of times because I've been around long enough that I'm like, you know. Anyway, one thing that I noticed anyway was that everybody who is featured in the Experience Music Project, all the musicians are either famous or dead. Now, the two classes or the two categories of musicians who do not need your help are those who are famous or dead. Okay? Another thing that you will notice if you go inside is that there's a sculpture that some guy built. And I recently had a conversation about it because I have made public comments about this sculpture. And this guy came up and said, well, actually, you know, the guy's a genius and he's, you know, blah, blah, blah. What it is it's a big obelisk, so to speak, made out of guitars. There are 350 guitars in there. Now, there are at least 350 teenagers in Seattle who would love to get a guitar but can't afford one. Okay, some of those guitars, I'm told, are broken. Big fucking deal. They can be fixed. They are damaged. They are collateral damage in the music world. They can be fixed. Okay, so what you have is a grotesque monument to, you know, excessive cash. I had to work for all of these things. I had to borrow money, work for them, and pay them off. You don't build a sculpture out of usable instruments. That's obscene. And then build a building where everybody in it is either, you know, famous or dead. So, but then it's operated by people who aren't Paul Allen. They work there, and there's some really cool people in there trying to make use of this thing because there's archives. I'm going to go in there because I know the person who's in charge of, like, the education department or whatever, and we're going to try to build. I want to archive the Seattle invisible marginal music scene from the 70s. That I was like a major part of, you know, playing the band breaks and getting the street music scene going and all that stuff. Get that in there. You know, there's all kinds of stuff in there, and a lot of it's just nonsense, but there's some cool stuff in there. You know, I mean, most of it's nonsense, okay? Let's not kid ourselves. But that's the EMP, the Experience Music Project, just for...
How did Paul Allen make his millions in the first place?
He was one of Bill Gates' original partners. Uh-huh. And he got out, and he went on into, you know, speculation and so on, and, you know, I don't know when he got out. I don't remember that. But he was one of Bill's original wallet buddies.
So does Bill Gates not have as much... He hasn't left as much of a mark as Paul Allen has?
Not as much of a visible mark. Paul has been buying up a lot of buildings. Okay, he owns the majority of the property at the south end of Lake Union. He owns a bunch of stuff. He just owns a lot of stuff. You know, Bill is quieter. He's got the Microsoft thing. He's still doing the Microsoft, you know. So that's Bill's main thing. You know, and of course his house, which is, you know, God's gift to whatever, you know. His house looks like a ski resort from a distance. You know, you can't believe it. It's like, what's that? It's a ski resort. There's no snow here. And then you realize it's a single-family dwelling. It's phenomenal, you know.